The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, confidants. My, this one's going to be fun. My creative, my gay, my entrepreneurial, my digital media confidants. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey Darrah, and I am so excited for this week's guest because I am not only a huge fan of this person, but she's out here killing the fucking game, and she's younger than I am, which she makes me feel young. Like, she bought cargo pants and flip-flops, so I buy cargo pants and flip-flops. She's also been a guest on Guilty Pleasures, which I know you all be watching, and she's here to talk to us today about her newest venture, making her directorial debut with her movie Reply. She's got over 1.7 million subscribers. She's been called the John Hughes for the YouTube generation. She's a content creator who's now pouring her love of films and writing into directing her own with a focus on LGBTQIA stories. Reply is both written and directed by this gorgeous person. It's a Y2K vintage featuring a notable cast of talent and influencers, including Ava Capri from Do Revenge, we all know, Sierra Riley Wilson, and Corey Fogelmanis. And it is now available to rent on Creator Plus. Y'all, it's Elle motherfucking Mills.
Hello.
Hi,
what an intro. Hello.
I know. I feel like I just did like a line. Like, I'm so, you give me energy. Yeah. I'm so here for it. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me.
So, holy shit, you made a movie.
I did.
Casual.
I did do that.
I'm using this as like semi selfish reasons. I just got my biggest job of my career announced 2 weeks ago that I'm directing the BuzzFeed feature documentary about like
Days
of BuzzFeed. Yeah. So I'm like,
oh my gosh,
stepping into my directorial debut, and you're coming hot off the press. So I'm like, I'm ready for this fucking conversation to happen.
Oh my God. I'm excited to see that. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. I honestly, same, but this is not me, as much as I try to make it about me and my life. Let's rewind. Let's go back to the beginning, as our girl, Hillary Duff once said. Mm-hmm. Where did your love of film really begin? Because you young.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in a way I've always loved like video making, and like I feel like films for me, like, I mean, I grew up loving like 2000s teen movies and like Disney Channel movies, like DCOMs and stuff. So I mean, I've always had a love for film. I think like obviously that like it like developed into like different kinds of films and stuff as I grew up, and like I got more like hands-on with stuff. But I feel like I've always just been like I love movies over TV shows. Like, I've always been like more into film, but like filmmaking has been like a recent thing, but because I feel like I've only recently gained the confidence to dive into it. But yeah, I've always just been a consumer.
Right, right. And there's something about like the types of movies that I know you're a fan of that's like very character driven. Like, we're not talking like Marvel, big action, like superhero genre stuff. Like, what is it about a character driven sort of like slice of life movie that you love?
I don't know, because I was thinking about this recently. I'm like, I don't know. I just love grounded stuff. And I actually like feel like when a movie has like elements that are feel like, I don't know, like the sci-fi fantasy and just like superhero stuff. I mean, I do love those films, and there's some like great films where like, I mean, I do enjoy, but it does lose me a little bit. I think I don't know. I was thinking about it recently, because this is controversial and I really feel embarrassed about that I'm about to bring it up, but.
Oh my God, say it.
I don't. It's really hard for me to bring myself to the theater to watch Bones and all.
Really?
I know.
Okay, wait, but like we gotta dissect this. Is it because we don't go see movies anymore? Is it because it's able to stream? Like, what is it?
It's the cannibalism part of it. Oh. I'm just like, it loses me. If it was just a love story, a grounded love story, I'd be like down, but it's like, I'm like,
oh, okay. You know what I mean? Got it. Facts. Okay. But I went and saw it, which I'm really pleased about my movie going experience, even though I am an AMC A-lister. I am like, my time is money and preciousness. I want to go make sure it's an investment. I'm not just going all willy nilly to go distract myself for 2 to 3 hours. Bones and all fucks.
Okay.
It's incredibly grounded. And then you have these moments where it's like, what the fuck? But the groundedness is so middle America. It's so Americana that I feel like you could get into it.
Okay. No, honestly, I've been hearing this a couple of times now. So I'm like, I will. I just don't know why. Because I'm very precious about, especially going to the movie theater. I'm like, it's a commitment. It's like, I want to be, I don't know. The last movie I saw in the theater was After Sun. Did you watch After Sun?
What's that one?
I'm pretty sure it's an A24 film, but it was like, I feel like I would, after like reading about it, like I would want to go back and watch it, but it was a bit of like, it wasn't the best. But before that, I watched Triangle of Sadness.
Oh. Have you? Love that guy.
So good. So good. See, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll give Bones. I mean, this has just been like a debate because my girlfriend really wanted to watch it while I was visiting her. And I was like really, really against it. I was like, I'd rather watch the Disney movie, the Strange World Disney movie. I don't know why. Do you get sometimes that you kind of just want an easy watch?
You want to turn your brain off.
Yes, and I just wanted like an easy, like, I don't know. That was my vibe the past few weeks, but it's been a huge debate, Bones and all. So,
okay, I will rock with Bones and all just because it's just so unusual. And come on, Timmy, you gotta go see Timmy. You gotta go see him being Timmy.
I know. Did you watch
the gays?
Did you watch Dune?
Oh yeah. In the theater.
Okay.
Did you?
I didn't watch. No, because I'm like, I love Timothée Chalamet, but I was like, I couldn't. In Zendaya too. But I just like, Dune was a little, like, that would be, it that's was, a little.
I'm not going to lie. I did not know anything about it. In fact, like the fact that it was such a big, thick ass book, I was like, this is going to be lame as fuck. I knew nothing going in. I came out, I'm kind of a Dune head. I still don't know anything else about it, but that was one where I was like, I'm just curious how they're going to portray the world. And it was such a big budget that you're like, I hope they don't fuck this up. How could they? But like, you can with that much money and star power. But I feel like, that was one of those ones that felt like an event to go see. Everyone was talking about it. You're like, okay, I'm going to shell out for some like Bunch of Crunch and popcorn. Like I'm making this a moment for me and my movies, you know, that's what I kind of love about the movie theater experience too. Okay, but so like you're a fan of the cinema, you're a fan of the movies like I am. You made one, and we need to talk about that process, that jump from being this video creator, this online creator, to making a feature is no joke. And like, creators have done it before, and did you watch any of those, or like how did you prepare from going from digital to creator to feature maker?
I feel like, well, honestly, when the pandemic happened, the beginning of it, I think just because everything was stopped, like I had time to like write a script, and I feel like I for years I feel like with my YouTube videos, because they have this like film like aspect to it, people really were like, I would love to see a movie, and I'm like, I knew I was always headed in that direction, but it was just very intimidating, like the technical side of things, like what is a producer, like what is, like I don't know, like and like I don't know, like cameras and like lenses and stuff, like it's not, it just seemed like a huge beast and was very intimidating, but I think once I wrote the script, I literally started off with a Google Doc, and then I was like, okay, let me now download Final Draft and like like, you know what I mean, like transfer this over, and so, and then after that, like I feel like through YouTube, like, I've met, like, a lot of, like, people who are doing that transition. The lead producer on this was Mikey Murphy. He started off in the YouTube space, and he's kind of been, for the past few years, diving into writing, directing, and producing. And so he kind of, like, guided me through the whole thing and, like, held my hand through it and, like, took on, I think, a lot more of, like, the technical side of things so that I could focus on the creative. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No,
but,
yeah, are you listening? I'm literally listening to you talk as if I'm listening to a podcast. Like, I'm like, yes. Oh, good note. I feel the same way, where there's this, like, weird imposter syndrome, because, like, hearing you talk about, like, it was intimidating. I'm like, how is that possible for you? Like, what you've created, you had such, like, narrative driven content already, like, it aesthetically had such a tone and like style. And so to know that it was even nerve wracking for you to go to the big leagues, or whatever they want to call it. Like, even me having I have a meeting with, like, a DP later, I'm like, fuck, I'm brushing back up on my knowledge of lenses and what does the millimeter represent exactly. Like, why do we call it 24 millimeter? Like, just stuff where I'm afraid of looking like an idiot. But how did you tell yourself, like, there's a reason why people believe in you and your idea, and, like, you don't have to be all of those things, even though maybe you're used to being all of those positions as a digital creator?
Well, I felt like I was, like, I felt very confident in the story and in, like, how I would be able to, like, execute it, because I am a perfectionist. So I knew, like, that the end product I, like, would be, it would be something I'm proud of. And I feel like I honestly really just lean into the fact that I didn't know everything, and I was very honest with everyone. Like, every single person that was on, like, the DP, I was just like, I don't really know anything, I want to learn. And I felt like that like, it made it better. Everyone was so down to teach me, and I would like, I felt like in a very safe space where I was just asking questions and, like, be like, oh, I don't know what that means, what is that? And I feel like people were like, that made them enjoy it more, because I felt like they, like, oh, they were, like, the expert on their thing and they get to teach me. And, like, and I still felt, but I didn't, like, feel like that was a weakness, to be honest. I felt like I was, like, I just wanted to be honest, and but I did feel very confident in what, like, it was, like, the story itself. Because I do feel like I can tell a story. So I just, like, held on to that for my dear life throughout it.
Well, yeah, let's talk about it. Like, what is the story? I remember you kind of soft pitched it when either you had just wrapped making it or something. And I was like, oh, shit, that sounds dope as hell. Like, I haven't seen that before. What? How did you come up with the story? How did you draft? Like, how many versions did you write? Were you like, one and done, this is it?
No, I mean, it started off, like, I started off with the structure. I liked the idea of this, like, well, for those who don't know, Reply is, like, it's about this boy who finds these home videos that his mom made, filmed when she was, the summer after high school before college, and she's building a treehouse, and during, the summer she meets, her new neighbor, and things progress. I knew I wanted to make something with found footage, because it was, I felt like a nice transition from YouTube. And also, like, with it being a short film, I was like, okay, how can I tell this in, like, a condensed way that feels, I don't know. Like, I was just trying to find a creative way to tell it. So I think that was how I initially started it off. And then a year went by, and I was like, oh, I think I actually want to make this, because, you know, things are starting to open up. So I was like, okay, I could actually make this happen. And that's when I actually casted it in, like, my head. Like, and that's how I developed the characters. I don't know. I feel like, even because I've been writing a feature for the past year, I even still, like, have, like, an actor in mind when I'm writing it, because it really helps develop it. And I feel like it's also a bit of an anxiety thing, where it's like, I'm like the casting process kind of scares me, because it's like, what if I can't find the one,
the voice,
you know?
Right.
Yes.
Right. In your head. It's like reading a book and then you're like, oh, God, I hope they got it right.
Well, even when I read books, I'm like, I feel like I'm read them with like an actor in mind like a character in mind. Yeah. But, oh, my God, I lost my train of thought. But, yeah, I mean.
Writing casting, it, yeah. Did you write it with these actors in mind? Like, did you get who you wanted?
No, and I was like, I remember like when I asked them too, I was like, because I didn't want to ask them until it was officially done, and I'm like, I was just so nervous because I was like, I don't know what I would do if they said no. Like, I didn't really like, I didn't really have a backup plan. But luckily all of them said yes, so that's what I knew. I was like, I mean, that's my favorite part of the whole process is working with the actors. Yeah, like I really, really like when I watch films, I watch for the acting. I just am obsessed with a good actor. So, it was really cool getting to work with them, getting to work with my dream cast.
Yeah, and like it's not like a bunch of nobodies. Like these are people that have been working in the biz for a while. I mean, you've got Sierra who was in Bizardvark, and you have Ava who's like becoming like the internet's girlfriend. Like people love these characters. Mm-hmm. And was there ever any idea of like casting people that come from digital, or did you feel like for some reason this needed linear actors if it was going to be on a linear platform? Because I feel like that's the stigma, right? It's like people don't take YouTuber movies seriously.
Mm-hmm. I guess it was never like that wasn't like a conscious thought to not cast like someone who was in the digital space. I think it was just like I had met each and every single one of them in like different parts of my life. And I just thought they were very talented actors. And also they were all very like, they just stood out as being very warm and charming. Mm-hmm. Just them as who they are. And I knew that I wanted the film to be that. So yeah. I didn't really, I did want to make sure like I just wanted to make sure they were good actors, I guess. That's it. Like, it wasn't, they could have been in the digital space, but I think because that's what they do. They're like, they are actors. So it's that was the most important part.
Right. Like you said, it's like you hire the experts, the ones who are the best at their jobs. And that's like applicable even to the actors.
Yes.
So much makes a lot of sense. I'm curious to talk about a piece of like, because none of this is very traditional, like in the process of like you get the actors that all say yes, you go out to them, you wrote a script in a year. Like that's fast and like very, I don't know. I like to believe in like, you're manifesting your own like shit, because that's something the internet probably taught us, is that as creators we can like just do it ourselves. But there's a piece of like filmmaking and being a director that a lot of people don't talk about but need so much advice on, which is funding. And I feel like that's what people think is their biggest obstacle to making a film. And like, I don't know if you believe that, but can you talk a little bit about the process of funding? I'd imagine that had people asked you to do a feature before, like you're so talented, I feel like people would just be throwing dollar bills at you like a stripper. Make a movie.
I remember I started off asking my agent. I was like, can I get help, like how can I get funding for this? But I think I ended up just like, I guess it is the digital creator in me. I was like, I'm just gonna get this done myself. I'm like, so I did crowdfunding. And then I also, it was a lot of out of pocket because it was a passion project. And I knew that this was like would be setting this tone for like what an L Mills film would look like. And it would be very, it wasn't like an investment. So I just spent a lot out of pocket, but, and I mean, that's not very good advice, but I do think when you're first starting out, you know, it's like, there has to be a bit of an investment, but I did do crowdfunding and I think that was great and everyone was very supportive. So, and I just felt like I had a lot of friends and family who are willing to like support, even if just a little bit, help support that. I mean, I'm not sure if this is great advice. I felt like I was very fortunate to have, an audience who wanted to see it. And so, I got lucky there, but
Yeah, no, I mean, it, luck or like you, it's hard work and like years of like your content making to show as proof of concept. Like a lot of people trusted you already because they know, like you said, like you know how to tell a story, which let's talk about the story, like how gay this shit is. Like, is it important for you to have your film? Like, what was that process like writing in 2021, I guess, or 2020, whenever you were writing it? Like, how did you want this to feel different from most like queer coming of age stories?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, for me, like I grew up loving 2000s teen movies. So it was important for me to have like a queer 2000s teen movie. And I'm still like working on that. I mean, this is like a short film. So like I had the short film version of it, but I really wanted also like it to feel, especially with like two female leads, like I really wanted it to be a very innocent love story. I felt like, I mean, we have that with like, I think Heartstoppers is a good example of that. And there's like, you know, there's some good ones, but I felt like I really wanted to be very innocent and cute, like first love. Like I think of films like Little Manhattan or like Flipped, or like, these are just like very like, or like My Girl, like very wholesome. I think that's very important for queer stories. There aren't many of them. So, that was important for me. Mostly that, to be honest. Like, I also wanted it to be, like, I mean, there are a lot of, like, I feel like with queer stories, focus on the coming out aspect, and I think those stories are very important, but I think it was more important for me to, like, start, like, it was nothing, there's no aspect about coming out in it. It was just a love story, as it would be for, like, a guy and a girl. So I think that was really important for me.
Yeah, and, like, do you feel like that was at any point, was it the story a hard sell for anybody, like getting someone behind the idea? Like we talk about how so many queer stories are like trauma based, right? Or like you said, the coming out, or like, was it ever a hard sell to just be like, these are two people falling in love and that's it?
No. I feel like it wasn't a hard sell. I feel like everyone was really down for it. And I think everyone understood that. Like, I feel like another short film I felt like was a good, a queer one was, I forget what it was called. It's an animated one. Do you know, it was the two boys with the heart. Have you ever seen it?
YouTube?
It went viral on YouTube a while ago, but you should definitely check it out. But I felt like that's a good animation. There was like in a heartbeat. Yes.
Oh, all right. It was the first one that popped up.
yeah. That one is very highly recommend. But that, like, I think that I remember seeing that, and I was like, oh, this is like so wholesome and sweet, and it's just like I want anyone at any age to watch it. You know, that was very important.
Right, like it's a universal story, no matter where for
a family. It's a family film. Yeah. So yeah,
could go on the Disney Channel. Could be
exactly. Yes. No. Yes. Exactly.
So I'm really curious about the actual like production aspect, right? So you've got the actors, you've got the story, you believe in it, other people believe in it. You're set to go, and then like so many things can go wrong in production, right? Like you go over budget, you don't get the shots you want. Like how much shooting did you do or like plan for? How much did you do? And then what was kind of the process like also shooting during a COVID-ish time?
Yeah. It was honestly a really smooth process. I'd say the toughest part was the pre-production. And I already, like, when I went to Mikey with the script, I was like, there's this one thing that we might have trouble with. Because I was like,
the weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly mercilessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey. Are you looking to cut back on alcohol this year? You are talking to two sober Sallies. You know Zach and I love to drink Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails because it's a guilt-free way to unwind. It has 0% alcohol, made with real fruit, only 25 calories or less, and it is sweetened with agave because y'all know I got that sugar addiction. It has incredible flavors. One of my favorites is the Grapefruit Paloma. The Paloma is actually one of the last drinks I was drinking when I was drinking alcohol, so this is like a nice little nostalgia moment, and it still feels really fun in my hand, and there's no reason we should be missing out on the partying either. It's such a good replacement for alcohol, a great drink for having in between alcoholic drinks, unwinding at home, at dinner parties, chilling on the couch. It is endless. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How are they going to build a treehouse? Like, with a small... Like, how are we going to build a treehouse with this, such a small budget? And we were originally going to build it as we were shooting, which I don't know how we thought that was going to be possible. But I think, like 2 weeks out, we decided, like, we have to, like, fake it and, like, find, like, an actual treehouse that's already made. Because it's, like, how are you supposed to... I guess, like, logistics. It's, like, who's going to let us build a treehouse on their location at their place and stuff, right? So those are, like... I don't know, interesting things to deal with, because I was like semi-producing it. I was helping out, but Mikey and Mark, they didn't tell me until the day before, but we didn't have the treehouse location locked until the day before. So, and that was the second day of our shoot. So luckily they didn't tell me that, thankfully. But that was probably the hardest part of it all. But like on terms of actual shooting, because I feel like pre-production was like a month or two. And then we had a 3-day shoot, and we wrapped 2 hours early every day. Yeah, no, but it's because we shot it all on film, most of it on film.
Wow.
And so we are limited with our takes. And we had rehearsal time with the actors before, and I like kind of prepped them. I'm like, we pretty much need to do like 2 takes per scene. And so we prepped it as much as we can, but, the cast are just so talented. And also I felt like with my YouTube videos, I'm always like pre-prepped. Like I have it structured out and planned out like to the T, and I kind of had that prepped for reply as well. So I felt like I went in knowing what I wanted. And as soon as we got to move on quickly. And so it was very smooth in that aspect. And also just like good vibes on set. I felt like everything went smoothly. And honestly, like, because I've directed like 2 other things since then, I'm like, it was definitely like a dream experience, and it was I'm very glad that it was my first experience too, that it was like very smooth. So yeah,
truly truly, like, I can't get over like how
I don't want to say easy because I know it wasn't easy, but smooth things like went for you. Because I feel like the hardest thing that I'm up against right now is I too am a perfectionist who's learned how to do everything by themselves, but learning how to give up control, even mm-hmm. if it's like the best person for the job, of just like in the moment of production, things can go wrong and you have to kind of like pivot and adjust. And is that just like, what is that, just like a better upbringing as a child that you're able to be more flexible, or like how do you not get stuck, especially when you're someone who sees so clearly a vision? Like, how are you able to pivot when maybe things weren't exactly right?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess like I feel like in the moment, I think like I like problem solving, so I'm if it's like, obviously I'm going to push it as far as I can to have exactly what I want. But if you get to the point where I'm like, okay, we need to figure this out, like I think I'm very flexible and like willing to figure it out and make it happen. Like, I feel like there's been like in other things I've directed, like I've definitely had to, you know, maybe like, you know, definitely figure out like on the spot pivoting. And it's been interesting. I feel like the more experience I get, like, I feel like I'm like, I really reflect back when it's like, okay, like how could I have prevented that? And like, you know, and like talking to the team around me, I feel like it's also nice because I feel like it's not me having to pivot. It's all of us having to pivot, you know, the team. So I feel like the biggest thing was creating a team that felt like a family. And I feel like I have my go-to team with directing. Like, I can't imagine it doing without them, because I feel very safe and I feel like we have each other's backs. So maybe that's it. Like, I feel like it's not just me trying to figure it out. It's like, we're all in this together. It's a team effort.
Yeah. And that's gotta be nice. I know that feeling of like the best feeling in the world is hiring your friends and like working with your friends that become family. And it does make a big difference in the energy of the room and showing up for the days. Like, how did you guys connect as a family? Like, were you guys like hanging around the crafty table? Were you doing cast dinners? Like, were y'all drinking in the after party? Like, how did you get everyone to get close that quickly?
I mean, I guess like, honestly, initially when I was talking to Mark and Mikey, the biggest thing was like, I want the set to be good vibes. It was very intentional that it would feel like a family and very warm and welcoming while still getting shit done. So I remember being like, I want everyone we hire to be like good vibes. Like, selfishly, like I want to come on set and want to hang out with everyone.
Right.
So, I mean, I did like things like just, I feel like my biggest thing as a director is making sure that it feels like a fun space. Cause I feel like subconsciously people can feel that in the end product. I feel like when something's made with love, people feel that. And that's how I kind of led with my YouTube videos. Was just trying to make like put as much love into it as possible. And so that was like intentional going into Reply. And like on set, like would play music, like make sure I curated a playlist and like, just making like getting gifts for the cast, you know what I mean? And making sure, and I feel like letting the producers know that this is like the vibe I want to set, they were also doing their part in like making sure the crew was good. So yeah, very intentional to have it feel like that.
Oh, I love that. Like a very intentional set. You mentioned this is shot on film, which is a choice. So talk about it. What was that choice made for?
Yeah. I mean, I'm upset. Like, I feel like there was a time where almost like all films were shot on film. And I love that look. I love that feel. And especially because this is like, it's like there's present day. This film is like there's present day and then it goes back in time. I knew that I wanted it to feel nostalgic. And I very early on realized I didn't really want to make it feel like it was actual lost footage, like VHS tape stuff. So I was like, I leaned into the Wes Anderson-esque look. Moonrise Kingdom was referenced for the visual. And that's how I got paired with my DP, I call her my work soulmate. She specializes in film, and her name's Kasusha. And she's every project I've directed, I work with her. And it was, I don't know. I feel like there's something, because I've shot on digital too now, and I've done the three things I've directed. First one, Reply is all on film. The music video, Joshua Bassett music video I did, we shot on digital, but then we did a film out. So we we edited it out and then we got it all scanned on film. Then the, last YouTube video, we just like color graded it to look like film. And I think out of all of it, I'm like, I really do, I don't know, there's something special about shooting on film. Like Kasusha, I was talking to her about it and she's, I'm like, why do you love shooting on film? Because she like, that's her like specialty. And she's like, there's a different process versus like shooting on film versus shooting on digital on her end. And it's like, it feels a lot more intentional and everyone's like, we're like, it's all coming back to intentional and like, yes, exactly. And it feels like, because on digital you can shoot as many takes as you want, but with film it's like it's very precious. And so I don't know, there's just, I really just enjoy, I also mostly just enjoy the look. I really wanted it to look like
it was, you can't recreate it, you try, yes, but it's really hard. So you make it, you got your film, your crew is all loving on each other. You're wrapping 2 hours early. What the fuck? You get to the post process and how many days like editing and how involved were you in the process?
I edited it. I have
Holy
not.
Holy shit.
No, I have not let go of the editing yet. I'm a little worried because I do eventually need to let go. I think I have some projects coming up where I'm like, I'm going to try to let go of the editing. But I don't know. Cause I write the script with the edit in mind. Like I know the beats and stuff. And and that's how I edit, like made my YouTube videos. It's like, I feel like it's the edits already done before I'm filming. I sped through the edit. The edit was really fast. Cause I already knew, especially cause it's basically the way the film is, it's like, we're either on sticks or it's like handheld because the camera is a character it's always a character holding the camera technically. So it was very like, there's like montage parts and then there would be the scenes where we locked off one take, so the edit was kind of easy. But like what I enjoy with, honestly, I really enjoy working with the team on the post-production side because I, you know, I'm used to editing on my own, but it's nice to have having a colorist, love that part. A colorist is amazing. I don't know. I'm like not good at it at all. And like sound design too. Like just like not having to deal with like the little, I don't know. I really enjoyed like offloading, honestly. I think the only part about the edit is that is the beats, like the cuts. It's like, I almost feel like when I'm like, eventually I will work with an editor, but like, it's like, I feel like, I'm just gonna be such a helicopter mom. Like I'm gonna be like so on top, like over the shoulder and like wanting to like have it the exact second. And like, I don't know, I gotta figure that out. But it was it was like a month or two, I guess, of post-production.
Wow. And are you also doing your other like videos and, or did you take time off to just focus on this?
Just on Reply?
Yeah, like were you just doing Reply for?
Oh, I was just doing Reply. Yeah, and I think I luckily for a year had a Twitch deal, so I was able to like do. I ended up just switching over to that while doing like the directing because I could. I don't know, the type of it. Yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah,
do both at the same time. I did take a year off.
Yeah, I can't. I like the next 24 weeks. I'm like, I don't know. I don't even think I can take a vacation, like going home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I will go home the day before and I will come back the day after because I need to be here. There's always something to fucking do. Like there's if it's not something to do on the project. There's like something to watch. There's something to be inspired by. Like something new has come out. Like I'm consuming all the time.
And it's also like the creative part of it. I don't know. I find it very like. It's like you don't want to stretch yourself too thin, and like I feel like I'm very like, I don't know how you are, but I can only really work on one project at a time, and so it does put everything on pause when I'm working on like directing a project.
Yeah, it's like I'm just seeing it as like a mindful practice. Like, of course, I want to go do all these other things and say yes, yes, yes. But it's just it's really mindful. And I want it like this is my one shot. This is like my directorial debut. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like you got to like you said, you got to put like the L Mills TM on that bitch. And you want uh-huh. it to be 100%. I'm curious about distribution. So you finish, you're mm-hmm. locked, you're picture locked. Are you sending out edits to your agents like as it's happening? Are you like someone we already got a buyer? Like you're smiling. What was the process?
No, I mean, I just like, I don't, I think I just did it. Like I didn't really have my team involved at all. And then I sent it, I think at the end I sent it to my agent. I'm like trying to figure out how it worked out with Creative Plus, how it landed in their hands. But I got a new manager at the beginning of this year to help me with the transition. He's in the more traditional side of things. And I wanted someone who could help me, guide me through and help me navigate how to become a writer director, because I have no clue. And so I think when it got to him, Aaron, I think he started sending it out, the short film out to people, Creator Plus saw it, and they were interested in buying the short film and releasing the short film on their platform, which was really cool, because I had no plan. I think I'm just gonna post it on my YouTube channel.
Really?
I made it just like wanted to make it, and it ended up working out, because then I'm like, luckily, like, because I paid a lot out of pocket, made all my sure. money back. So it was like,
wow,
a dream nice experience. And also, yeah, no, yeah. And I think it's just been like, it's a cool, it's just been such a cool experience working with Creator Plus, because it's like, they helped make the poster, press. And like, it's just like, it's like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I really had no plan for it. So,
wow.
Yeah, just, I got really lucky. Honestly.
Well, Creator Plus, I don't think a lot of people are just starting to hear about it. It's sort of, mm-hmm. I mean, exactly what it says, Creator Plus. It's people mm-hmm. that come from the digital industry that know that there's like clearly a market for creator led projects. And like I said, kind of in the beginning, it's like such a hard sell to these dinosaurs in the room to be like, why would that belong on like a Netflix or something? And so they were like, mm-hmm. why not just make our own? And so it mm-hmm. seems to be the kind of also the perfect home for it in a way.
Oh no, for sure. Especially yeah. like my directorial debut.
Yeah.
It was like a no-brainer.
Yeah, like the girlies who mm-hmm. get it.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me what the response has been like.
Oh, it's been good. I mean, it's been interesting because this is like, I've never, like with YouTube, I'm so used to it being like as soon as I finish posting it. Yeah. And so I've sat on it it's been done since December of last year, so it's been over like almost a year. Yeah. And we did like a bit of a festival run with it, and I had like the big like friends, family, and cast and crew screening in February. So I back then it was a very warm and very encouraging response. Like I feel like I felt like I was on the right track with getting into writing and directing, and now that's out and for the world, everyone to see, I feel like it's been the same. Like everyone's been very kind about it, and I think it's been received well, and people enjoy it. I mean, I'm excited. Like I feel like it's been a year, so I've been working on another script, and I'm like excited. You know what I mean? I'm like I'm excited for people to see what else I got. But I'm glad that I feel like it really Reply does set the tone of like what the heart of the films I want to make, like what it will feel like. So yeah, I guess the response has made me more excited to finish up my other script.
I mean, of course, you know, ask like, what's the next thing? Like, what is, you have to take a step back and like appreciate your work. Like, yes, of course. Uh-huh. But then where we come from, it's like, okay. And what else do you have? Like what's next? Like, yes. How fast can we get? Uh-huh. So what's that been like? Were you able to sort of digest and enjoy it? And then like, what's next?
Yeah. I mean, it's been good practice to like sit on something and like, I don't know, like this is the longest I've sat on a project before. Yeah. I need to get used to it because I feel like with filmmaking, that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but yeah, it's been interesting to get like unwire my brain from like the digital grind. Yeah. But it's been like I mean, I just kind of try to put that energy into taking my time with this script. I've been writing for the past year a feature that I think it is like a queer coming of age film. And I think Reply really, again, it sets the, I feel like it's not a proof of concept. It's a different story, but if people enjoy Reply, I think they will really enjoy this. And I just feel like I don't know. It's interesting because I've sat on it, Reply, for so long. I'm like, I feel like, I mean, I'm proud of Reply. I'm super proud of it. And I wouldn't change anything of it about it, but I'm like, I've grown a lot as a person in the past year. So I feel like my writing reflects that, you know, and I feel like I'm excited for people to see what this feature is, because I feel like it kind of shows my growth.
Hell yeah. That's like, I mean, shit. Like the hardest part for me with the BuzzFeed project is like convincing people who I haven't seen since I left that I'm not like the alcoholic mess that was on BuzzFeed. Like people are like, why is she directing this? I'm like, I promise since I've left full time, I've made two other features. I'm like an evolved person, or at least that's what I'm telling myself and people. But just to see the growth in my own filmmaking when I was making like BuzzFeed identity videos to like this, I don't know, time capsule-esque rise and fall story. I'm excited to kind of see also what I come up with, but it's fun. Like you said, it's cool to see your own growth and like reflecting that in the storytelling and, and even just like the type of the way you shoot something, I think is going to be the most fun, like time capsule of your own work, which I mean, that's like what YouTube is for us anyways, is to go back and be like, wow, look how smart I was back then and how funny. And I thought I knew it then, but look at all this life experience that's shaped the artist I am today. At this point, I'm complimenting you, but also just trying to hype myself up.
Well, I'm really excited because you're like, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
That you're making, like it's, right? So that's like,
yeah,
that's like, I think in my life would want to tackle a documentary, but that's
you
like
will. It's so natural from where we come from, you know, in like putting ourselves in our identity, but like far enough away where like director feels right, you know.
Yeah That's exciting. I mean, like, I can't even imagine like what that process is like.
it's a lot but it's exciting. Like it's the business side and like getting people to trust you with their story and their time and their money, and it's a team effort. So it's for sure been fun to just like hire my friends again and like get to work with friends again. And that I think is like, if you guys take anything away from this episode, it's that when you work with your friends, you can do anything you set your mind to or something like that. Okay. Well, I can't believe we've been talking for 45 minutes already, but.
Oh, really? Oh my God.
I could talk to you about film all day. Like, we didn't even get into the weird parts of like, what was your inspiration? What did you watch over and over again? Okay, I'll ask that to end. What did you watch over and over again for when you needed like an inspo moment? Or was there sort of a genre?
I don't feel like I watched anything. I feel like just like really honing in on like the films that I love and taking little things from it. Like, like again with like the visuals, it was Wes Anderson, like Moonrise Kingdom. But then it was like the nostalgic stuff, like the teen movies that I grew up with. I was like, it's like I love it to feel entertaining from start to finish. And like I think there's a Jojo Rabbit, like Taika Waititi, like his like I feel like he's able to like keep an audience really on the edge of their seat. And so like that was an inspiration. So I think this is a bad answer, but basically all my favorite movies were an inspiration.
I mean, yeah, you're so right with Takai. Is like, he's a comedian first, like no matter what, even with something like Jojo, it's the pacing. Yeah, we need to do just like a whole separate side. Wait, well, you'll just have to come back on Guilty Pleasures. What am I talking about?
Yes. Like, no, I'm down.
We had a podcast where we could dissect our favorite movies. Okay, well, tell the people, if they've been living under a rock, where can they find you and where can they find Reply to Watch?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at l.mills and then Twitter millsl. You can check out my past work on youtube.com/lthemills, but you can most importantly watch Reply on creatorplus.com/reply.
Perfect. Well, congratulations again. I cannot wait to see what you come out with next. I'm always a forever fan, and thanks again so much for being here. You're rad.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right, Confidants, that's it for this week. Don't forget to check out all the links below. We'll have Elle's movie out, Reply. Click it below. Check it out. Go get some gay shit in your life. And we will see you next week. Bye. Thanks, Elle.
Bye.